I suppose that every Christian group or one who professes to be a Christian would say that they are doing faith. They are trusting what they're doing is faith. But there's so much to understand in regard to faith, and I guess one of the easiest ways of wording it, is it the faith that God is looking for? For an example, if I'm trusting God that if I do this, then God will do that, is that the faith that God is looking for? And that really is fundamentally the faith that most people have, that if I will be morally good, if I will learn doctrine, if I will involve myself in the sacrifices and in the rituals and in the various things that go on at the church, if I will emote correctly, if I will serve, then God will do thus and thus for me, everywhere from eternal salvation to various things in life, restoring from sin, blessings in life, this type of thing. And so faith becomes very easy for them in that sense, and they are doing faith. But again, we have to ask, is it the faith that God is looking for? That becomes the great issue in Christianity, people. There are many things that we ought to do in life, but as we're seeing on Wednesday night, how ought we do them? We've been dealing with happiness, for an example. We ought to pursue happiness, but how ought the Christian to pursue happiness? Should we pursue happiness the same as the secular, the unbelieving world, and therefore that being just a good life? The secular world, through great minds, have developed a way of having happiness in life. Aristotle's probably the genius in this area of a good life, and good life by making right decisions, by which he would classify as the right moral decisions, the right health decisions, and so forth, that on the surface, if you read them, you would think this was written by a Christian. And that's my whole point. How ought the Christian seek happiness? How ought the Christian seek this pursuit of happiness that becomes so important in life? Ours is unique because ours is sought simply by trusting God. And therefore, then whatever comes from that is up to God. And so we're in the midst of looking at some very powerful things in regard to faith, in regard to what God is looking for. And right now in our study on Sunday morning, we're dealing with the crisis of faith. And the crisis of faith, you recall, is just trusting God, not trusting something I do. We have moved to another segment in that study that is not the crisis of faith. I don't want you to misunderstand. What we're looking at now, last week and this week, really is the testing of faith. Once you learn that what I have to do is just trust God, not trust what I do, not trust the church, trust some ritual, trust moral righteousness or knowledge of doctrine or emotional experience or service or the rituals of the church or something like this, but simply trust Him, then that is going to be tested throughout your life. And that's what we're looking at. And so let's begin with a word of prayer as we move into some very powerful passages. And what we're basically looking at right now in our study, can faith be increased? Second parallel question to that is, should faith be increased? Does faith need to be increased in its magnitude? Does God need more faith from me to do things in my life now that I'm a Christian than He did to save me when I was an unbeliever? All He needed there was a faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, the smallest unit of measurement that they could think of. So if we take the smallest measurement of faith, the standard measurement of faith, a grain of mustard seed, for God to change me for all eternity, does God need more faith now from me that I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and I come into problems in life? Does the problem in life, let's word it this way, can any problem in life even be compared to my problem as an unbeliever in magnitude, in scope? I'm dying of cancer, and I need to trust Him each day in that regard. Is that of greater magnitude than when I was an unbeliever and no hope of eternal life, and yet all he needed there was a grain of mustard seed. Does somehow God now need more faith from me? Or is it just the challenge of faith and the testing of faith? And one thing that we're really seeing here that I want to point out in all these passages is faith is the issue. Faith becomes the real issue, not morality. It doesn't say you need to be more moral for me to do this for you. Not knowledge of doctrine. Not emotional experience. Not service. But over and over, one of those underlying things that we might miss, kind of studying it and miss some of the trees in the forest, and those trees are, faith is the issue. Will you trust me? Let's begin with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes to what He would have us to see. Let's pray. Father, if we just take the 2,000 years of church history, two millenniums have now passed. Some 2,002 years ago, God became man. A little less than 2,000 years ago, more, Father, the church began. A new dispensation, a new creature came on the scene. 2,000 years, and look where we are, Father. Which points out that we do not pass on from one generation to another generation truth as resolved. It's something that each generation, each individual must decide for himself or herself. One might think that, gosh, there ought to be some things settled by now after 2,000 years. Christians fighting over this and Christians fighting over that. It seems like something would be settled. But it wakes us up to the fact that nothing's ever settled as an absolute and passed on as such. But each individual of the next generation must make up their mind. Make up their mind about you. Make up their mind about Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit. Make up their individual mind what you're looking for, what life is about. And each individual then must live that. Pray, Father, that we will become more aware of the brevity of life. And realize that we just have a few days on planet Earth to live, Father, in the manner in which we understand you, view and see you. Now, Father, in these next few moments this morning, we pray that your Spirit will be the teacher, that he will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in the passages. Not everything that is there, just those things that you would have us to see this morning. Our eyes might be open to the challenge and the test of faith. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what we're seeing in these passages we've been looking at is that trusting God becomes the real issue. And we've seen so far in such things as illness of self. We saw this with the royal official as well as the centurion. That the faith or the illness of their son, one of their sons, one of their servants, caused them to come into a great issue. Illness is in our own prayer list. Many of the people on our prayer list is some type of illness or another. God uses illness for a lot of reasons, both for the individual that is ill, and sometimes it has absolutely nothing to do with the individual that is ill, but with those that are around them. Then we saw in the area of just living the Christian life with one another, in the area of forgiveness. Jesus Christ said we are to forgive a person seven times in one day. The disciples realized the great problem there is faith. And so Faith is what is tested. Faith is what is challenged. And I don't want that to be lost in all of this. It's not one's moral righteous life. It's not one's knowledge. It's not one's experience. It's not one's service. It's our individual faith in trusting God. Now, last week we looked at 2 Thessalonians, where we saw that faith was greatly enlarged, dealing with the areas of our life that we have learned to trust Him. We'll see that more and more now as we go through our study, having have that now tacked on to what we're doing. And then once that occurs, once faith starts occurring in more areas of your life, then what happens is spiritual love is magnified in that area of your life. It is intensifies. It grows greater. Now, let's continue this morning. Open the scriptures to Matthew, and we're going to take up our next little problem. Can faith be increased? Should faith be increased? Most people would answer yes. I certainly would have before the Spirit decided to calm me down and take me into the scriptures and find out what really is going on in the scriptures. And so we have another problem about faith increasing. And it's the phrase, as I told you when we entered this, I'm not going to back off of any of these. Because some of them seem like faith is increased and should be and all of that. But we've now looked at Thessalonians. We've looked at Luke. We're going to look at another one. And our problem this time is going to be the phrase, little faith. Now, that seems like, on the surface, you have little faith, you have a lot of faith. If we just take it this way. So there's little faith, and little faith is no good. No good. In the context we're going to look at, they're failing. So he says, little faith. Well, I got a question for you as we enter this discussion. Is a little faith littler, smaller than a grain of mustard seed? I thought that was little. And that amount of faith saved me eternally. And that amount of faith can move mountains. So, is what we have in Scripture little faith? Is it something smaller? If we're going to think in terms of magnitude, size, is this smaller than a grain of mustard seed of faith? My goodness. Then what we're going to do, I'm babbling now, this must be having the size of faith of an atom, which is smaller than the size of a grain of mustard seed. But they didn't know what an atom was in the normal flow. So what's little faith then? Surely that teaches you can have a lot of faith versus little faith. Well, that's what I want to deal with. Is that really what is going on in Scripture? And people, it's so important to study, because there's going to be times when all that you and I can conjure up in our soul is, Father, I am so this or that, and all I can give you is just a grain of mustard seed of faith. And I know that's not enough, so I don't have enough faith, so I'm going to pray you give me more faith. No, you have enough faith. Just use the faith that you have. Use that grain of mustard seed of faith. Okay, Matthew. The term little faith is in Matthew only. It is just characteristic of Matthew. There's one exception of a passage in Luke, but it's a corresponding to a story in Matthew. So let's take a look at what Matthew's saying, and I want to start with Matthew 8. Let's start with Matthew 8. And the reason I want to start with Matthew 8 is because it will shed some light on what Jesus Christ is saying when he talks about little faith. Let's find out what Jesus Christ is talking about in this respect of little faith. It'll help us. If you look at Matthew 8:26, and he said to them, "Why are you timid?" Oh, I'm so sorry they translated that timid. The word means frightful, fear. Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, two of the great enemies to our faith, and it became perfectly calm. Not just calm, perfectly calm. Good weather for water skiing. so calm, just glass. That's what perfectly calm means. Okay, let's read the context, because as I said, over and over in these passages, I don't want you to miss out on the point of what is the real issue. And the real issue is, will you trust me? That's what I'm looking for. Okay, Matthew 8, and let's begin in verse 23. And when Jesus Christ got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Now, we're not here to study the passage. There's so much going on in that one little verse. Jesus Christ gets into the boat. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit that carries us in the storms of life, the sea being our life. And in the boat, in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, a lot of things going on. He gets into the power of the Spirit that carries him through the sea of the spiritual warfare. The disciples follow him. We are to follow him in regard to walking in the Spirit. Verse 24, and behold, there arose, and I love the Greek and the Hebrew, really, behold. We just don't use that anymore. Sometimes I wish we did. But, and behold, there arose a great storm in the sea. It's a picture of our lives. In our lives, there will be great storms that are going to arise outside of ourselves that will affect ourselves. Some problems of life arise inside of us. Mental attitude, sins, jealousy, anger, these kinds of things. There are things that will occur outside of your life that will arouse fear. A lot of people just in the Y2K thing, or just things that will happen in our lives of major proportion that will involve others, some that just involve us. There are things that will occur outside of our being that will cause great turmoil in our life. And behold, there arose a great storm. Great. Poseidon Adventure kind of storm. Raging storm. In the sea. All right, the sea. Picture of our life. This is where we are. So that the boat was covered with the waves. Okay. There are some men and ladies, but that's just historically. There are some men, they love being in the air force, up in the plane, flying around. I don't like that. I mean, you got a long way to fall when you get shot down. There are some men who love the sea, submarines and ships and out there. Now, I'm not a sailor either. You get out there and once you go down, you're going down. You know, when you're infantry, you're just right there on the ground. You're not far to fall. And if you fall, it ain't going to hurt you that badly. So here, the waves are just covering. I mean, you can just imagine. Hollywood has done some very good pictures of this kind of thing. This is a great storm, but let's stay with the real problem. This is our life, and it really is overbearing. Illness, money, marital, romantic problems in life, personal problems in life, family problems in life, old age, on and on and on. And it can get very, very heavy. And what may not look like to you something very important, it's not your test of your faith. Be careful how you judge one another. Somebody else may take the death of someone they love, and it hits them very, very heavily. And someone you love dies, you understand it, you got it all. Well, they ought to too. But you have your area that's going to be of a great testing. So, this is what spiritual love is. It's very sensitive to what others are going through. So I won't say any more, but the waves deal with all of these things that are going on in life. It represents challenges to our faith, areas that arise in our daily life to trust Him. Okay, and behold, there arose a great storm in the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but He, Jesus Christ, was asleep. Peace as a result of being in the Holy Spirit in the midst of the turmoil of life. And they came, the disciples, they're all disturbed by what's going on, and they came to him and they awoke him saying, save us, deliver us, Lord, we are perishing. Now, I want to say right now, that's probably not an exaggeration from the human perspective. One might say, well, they're not perishing, they just think this, and are they magic? Hey, if you're in that boat and then the waves are covering it up and everything, I'm perishing. This is over. I'm going down. Okay. There's not eternal salvation. It's a good place to see the word perishing. Doesn't mean eternally. Just means their life now is over. Okay, verse 26. And he said to them, why are you timid? The Greek word, delos, means fearful, afraid, in fear. In fact, the NIV translates this afraid. All right? So they're in fear. So what has been a challenge to their faith? At this point, it's fear. Fear of what's going to happen to me. Fear of what's going to happen to me physically. Fear, many people live in fear. Fear about some illness. Fear about old age. Fear in regard to a lot of things in regard to the physical well-being of a person. It's one of those, it's the very nature of man to live. And here that is being taken away with nothing they can do about it. And there is a fear that arises because of that. But remember, where there is fear, there is the absence of faith. For where there is faith, there is no fear. Where there is love, there is no fear. We saw that in 1 John. Okay, so fear is going to prevent here the use of faith. Their faith is now not able to operate because of their great fear in their soul. Then Jesus, look what he says, why are you so timid, you men of little faith? Now, this is our word of study, little faith. Now, this is an adjective. Little faith is an adjective in the Greek, and it comes, it's a compound word, comes from logos, which means small, little, as to number, intensity, time, that type of thing, plus pistis, which is the word faith. So the correct translation is little faith. Now, what does little faith mean? And I want to introduce that again by saying, is little faith something smaller than a grain of mustard seed? What is Jesus Christ saying? All right, to help us, to truly help us understand what's going on here, look with me at Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, a parallel passage from the viewpoint of another man who is there in that boat. So let's take a look. Mark 4, written by Mark or Peter. All right, Mark chapter 4, and look with me at verse 40. We'll just jump to our verse so we can see what's going on. And he, Jesus Christ, said to them, why are you afraid? Mark uses the same word for fear here, but note the next phrase. How is it that you have no faith? No faith. So, Mark, while he uses the same word for fear, why are you afraid? But Mark uses a different wording than Matthew. But for the eye that we'll see here, this is not a different word or not a different concept of what Jesus is actually saying. Mark really helps us to understand what Jesus Christ is saying. How is it that you have no faith? The verb to have, meaning using, possessing at that time, plus the negative, pistis, which is the word faith. How is it you have no faith? Now, we know they have faith. They're Christian. And we've seen other places where they've exercised faith. So it doesn't mean the absence in the absolute sense. What's going on here? No faith. What really is going on, people, for us to help us? No faith defines for us little faith. What little faith means. Little faith means no faith. That's what little faith means. People, God is not looking for a truckload or a boatload of faith. It's not what God is looking for. He's looking for a grain of mustard seed of faith. Use the faith that God has given to you, a measure of faith. Now, I want to give you a parenthesis like this in our study this morning. This is the type of thing that you don't usually get on a Sunday morning with a lot of preaching, but it's the type of thing that I want to do in teaching. Let's talk for a moment together about the doctrine of inspiration. Does this trouble any of you that one man says, under the leading of the Spirit, little faith, and another man says, no faith? Well, I'd like to know what Jesus really said. You know, because these are not the same statements. Well, let's examine. Let me deal with you on a doctrine of inspiration. I hope that the two accounts, same incident, by each of these disciples using different words, does not trouble you. But if it does, let me just say a word about that. We're not going to cover the doctrine of inspiration. That would take too long. I want to cover just one little aspect. And that's this. If what each says is true or false, then there's no problem. If you have several accounts, let's say we have Matthew, and here we have Mark, but we put Luke, John. Now, here we have Matthew and we have Mark making a statement. Now, if what they say is true, what both of them say is true, or both of them what they say is false, then it has no problem. We have a problem only when they are in contradiction in inspiration. Where if Matthew were to say something and Mark says something that is in direct contradiction of what the other said. One said Jesus was crucified at, 9 in the morning, and another says Jesus Christ was crucified at 3 in the afternoon. There we have a problem with inspiration we're going to have to look at and deal with. But where one is false, where one disciple makes a false statement and the other makes a true statement, then that's where you're going to have a problem. But if they're both saying the same thing, though worded differently, we have no problem. Here, both writers, under the power of the Spirit, are saying exactly the same statement. Their statements are true. They agree. Matthew, you men of little faith. Mark, no faith. Is what Matthew said true? Yes. If we understand the phrase little faith, this is a true statement. Is what Mark said a true statement? Yes, it's a true statement. Differ only in the wording for the exact same reality. Now, even with reference to no faith, we have to be careful. This does not mean that they do not have the measure of faith that God has given all members of the human race. They have it. They have the ability of faith. They have the capacity to trust with a grain of mustard seed. It's right now they are in fear and they refuse to trust. They refuse in this incident to trust. They will trust at another time, but not here. And we're going to learn from that. We're going to learn from that. So, if we take that I've just given you, where even with this, we're going to have to deal with it, that they do have within them a measure of faith. They're just not using it right now. So no faith in this incident. No faith right now in this storm. They had it to believe in Christ as Savior. They'll have it at other times. But right now, no faith. Okay, no use of faith right now because they do have the faith. But no use of it. Little faith. Same thing. They have faith, little use. Little use faith. They're not using their faith right now. They'll use it a little time here and they'll use it there, but they're not using it right now. So let's go back to Matthew now. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 26. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? We have the adjective that we're looking at now, and the word is a compound, meaning little, small, faith. Mark gives us a good idea. It means no faith, no use of faith. Now, there are those that we'll see here, a little in amount. Now, stay with me, because right here is what I try to show you over and over when you open this book. It is the most dangerous thing you will do in your life. It is the most challenging thing, trembling thing you and I will ever do. It is far more challenging and fearful than fighting sin, any sin you want to talk about. to open this book. Because another preacher could stand here and tell you, this means little and God wants more. There are those who will see God, they're not even using any faith at all. All God needs is just a grain of mustard seed. If somebody wanted to stay, forget Mark, forget what's going on here, and just stay with this, they would be preaching and dealing with the Word. I couldn't argue with them. Little faith, God wants more faith. Oh, they had a little faith, but God wants more faith. That's why I try to show you over and over the Isaiah 28 and how important it is. The Bible is written this way on purpose. I can't make it. It's going to be God the Holy Spirit that's going to open our eyes to the truth of Scripture. Did they have a little faith that's smaller than a grain of mustard seed? If a grain of mustard seed will move a mountain, is that really what you think Jesus is saying here? Or do we see, along with what we have in Mark, no faith at all here in the midst of this storm? You're not trusting at all. If you would just use a grain of mustard seed of faith, you'd make it through this deal. So I just want you to be aware. I don't want to stand up here and try to strap something on you. This is the only way this can be seen. No. No. The Greek word is little faith. And if you want to see that God is saying, no, I want more faith than that little bit, and I will work for you if you give me more, then okay. But I think as we go through all these passages and put all these things together, what we're going to find out is God is just looking for the use of faith. And that's why I went to this one first, because Mark really helps us in understanding little faith, no faith at all. If we understand, it's very important. If we understand little faith as meaning that they have a little faith, but not enough for God really to act yet. Not enough for God to act. Then people, we're making faith a work. And you can't get around that. You cannot get around that. If you're saying God needs more faith to act, then you have made faith a work. And this is what a lot of people believe. If you had enough faith, your son wouldn't have died. If you had enough faith, this wouldn't have happened. If you had enough faith, your marriage wouldn't have dissolved. Faith's the work. Get more faith. People, if it depends on me, it's a work. Let's don't be deceiving ourselves. What is a work? A work is something that I have to do. So if I say I have to come out with a certain amount of faith, more than a grain of mustard seed, it's a work. And God is looking for this. And until He sees that amount of faith, until He sees that, He's not going to function in my life. So if you choose to believe and to listen to the voice that says God is looking for more faith and all of this instead of no here in our, then just understand, be honest. Don't deceive yourself. You're making faith a work then, and I've got to get more and more of faith, and it just becomes another circle of lists. In other words, here's moral righteousness. Here is knowledge of doctrine. Here is an emotional experience. Here is service. And what is the deal with each one of these being the means of receiving something from God? You've got to get more. How? You can't be too righteous, or too moral, Aristotle said, and Christians will say. You can't get enough knowledge. You can't emote enough. You can't serve enough. More and more and more and more is what is needed by God to act in your life. Well, let's add to that now faith. If we believe this, because it means now we just get more faith and God will work for you. But people, faith is not a work. God isn't looking for more. He's looking for the presence of. Faith receives from God. And a grain of mustard seed receives from God. This will be seen over and over as we go through our study. Okay, let's take a look now. Little faith. Oh, men of little used faith. They have faith, but they don't use it very often. They use it rarely and seldom, and they're not using it now. They would not use the measure of faith they have given by the grace of God.
What we have here is, how is it that you have no use of your faith in the midst of this storm, people? You little use your faith. You may use it here and there, but you've got to, this is what we're seeing last week. And I use five because I can hold up one hand here. If there are five areas of the human life, and you increase the areas of the human life where you trust Him, 2 Thessalonians, enlarge your faith, increase your faith, you increase the mass, you increase the areas. Yesterday I trusted Him in two areas of my life. Today three. What happens is you see love in an area where you didn't see it yesterday because the greatest production of faith is love. So you see love yesterday, today, where you didn't see it yesterday because I trust Him here. And then as we continue and grow in our life and we get more areas where we trust God, until what God is looking for is where every area of our life we're trusting Him. That's when you're transformed into the image of Christ. Because then love is enlarged and magnified in every area of your life. What happens with a lot of people is they may have just one area. That's little use faith. You're trusting over here, but boy, when it comes to something else, you've got to take control. You go into fear. You go into worry. What God wants is two areas. And then God wants three areas of your life. Then God wants four areas of your life. Then God wants all of your life. But little faith is, well, I'll trust Him in this area of my life. And that's why a lot of times, I'll tell you again, that's why a lot of times people will know Christians and they'll see them live by faith here, but they won't see him live by faith in this area, whatever this one is. And so they say, well, he's a hypocrite. Over here he trusts God, but over here I know he's a phony. No, he's not a phony. He's on a journey of faith. He's learned to trust God here. He hasn't learned to trust God here. And God's going to keep working until he trusts God there. It may be sin. It may be a marriage. Some men and women are very wonderful in faith here, but when it comes to their marriage, they're very controlling, very possessive, very mean, very cruel. Are they hypocrites? No. They have not learned to trust Him in this area of their life. If we learn to trust Him in this area of our life, we're at peace, and we give the other person liberty. If they want to respond in love, they will do it. If they don't, there's nothing I can do to control them. A controlling person, when you see a person who has a controlling factor in their life, you're looking not at a hypocrite, dear people. You're looking at a person who has an area of their life where they have not learned to trust. If you see somebody has a sinful area of their life, Christians get all upset about patterns of sin. All you're looking at is another person in that area of their life. They haven't learned to trust Him. And they do over here and here and here. They're not hypocrites. They're not hypocrites. They trust Him, truly trust Him in these areas. They do not trust Him here. And what God is wanting is all areas of our life, people, where we will trust Him. And when we trust Him, the more areas of our life that we turn over to Him and trust Him, the more you will see love, the more you will see the increase, the decrease of sin, and the peace, the joy in all areas of our life. And that's what's happening. That's what's being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ is all about. We've seen Wednesday night, only the Christian can be transformed in the image of Christ because only the Christian, we take the illustration of an acorn. Only an acorn can be transformed into an oak tree. Any other seed cannot be. But an acorn can. It has all the DNA, it has all the genetic makeup, and if it is nourished and keeps going, it will be transformed from this little acorn into this great oak tree. Only the Christian can be transformed into the image of Christ. So here's the top of the tree. Here are the areas of your life, people. And you learn to trust Him and trust Him and trust Him and trust Him. And slowly your life begins to be transformed into the image of Christ. As more areas of your life, you learn to just trust Him in. This is little used faith. This is faith in the whole area of our life. So this is what we have going on if we can see this in our passage. Little faith means little used faith. No faith, no use of faith that you have. They both carry exactly the same idea. The disciples do not disagree here, people. The disciples are saying the same thing about faith. Now, why no faith in our context? Why no faith? Fear. Think about this. Why no faith? Fear. They will not trust. They look at the circumstances of life and they go into fear. You don't have to be on a boat overtaken with waves. You can be in normal life, financial problem, marital problem, your marriage is going, illness, great sickness, entering old age, any kind of situation. Totally hopeless and lost and go into fear. Go into fear. Why? Because you start looking at the circumstances. You start looking at the hopelessness of the situation. And when we do that, we've taken our eyes off of Him. Taken our eyes off of Him, and we go into, in this case, fear. We're going to study other things that stop it. Here it is fear. When there is fear, there is no faith. You get your eyes so on the circumstances of life, the waves coming over, the problems, the impending death, the no hope, no this, no that. Fear takes over. There is no place for faith. And we say, it looks like we need more faith. We say, I can't trust God. It's just too much. Yes, you can. You have the grain of mustard seed. Will you use it? It's not a matter of more faith, dear people, though it may look like that. It is a matter that you won't even use any faith here. You're so occupied with the circumstances of life. He doesn't want from you a mountain of faith. He doesn't want you to stand up on your own 2 feet and battle this out. He wants you just to respond with a grain of mustard seed of faith, and you have it. He has given it to you in His love and grace. So you just trust Him. And yes, that's the challenge of faith. It isn't more faith, but it is the challenge of faith, and it is the test of faith. But if we get our focus on the circumstances of life, the waves coming over, the rocking of the ship, the storm, the night, the darkness, all that's going on, there's no room for faith. Whereas another person keeps their eyes on God at this time, like Christ Himself, sleep, trusting God. I trust God here. He's not going to take care of me. You can go back there and go to sleep. Just go to sleep. Doesn't even need any of those motion pills. Just go to sleep. Okay. So, focus. Got your focus here, you're going to have fear. Get your focus on God, you're going to have the presence of faith. So, this is what's going on. Now, while we're here, let's finish the context. Let's just finish it because it is fun. Verse 26. I'll make this quick. Okay, verse 26. And He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, two different areas of the spiritual warfare at one time, and it became perfectly calm. And the men marveled, saying, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let me ask you a question. Why did they marvel? Why did they marvel? Someone might say, well, because of what happened. No, that's not why they marveled. This is a phenomenon that fishermen and people have been going through. Let's take you all the way back to Jonah a moment. Take you all the way back to Jonah. Storm at the sea. The sailors came up and they were in fear. Does anybody remember what they had decided had to happen for the storm of the sea to be calmed? Anybody remember? Huh? Throw Jonah off. Had to be a sacrifice. He offers no sacrifice here. This breaks everything that they've come to understand. There's no sacrifice here. He just stands up and tells the sea to calm itself. He just commands. And it obeys. It's not just a calming. Here, if we're going to spend a lot of time here, we'd go to Jonah, take you some other cases in the Bible, and take you through why they marvel. It's not just the marveling that He calmed the sea. It's marveling that He calmed it with no sacrifice at all. He just commanded. These men will not even trust the one whom nature obeys. People, the obedience that God is looking for from us is simply the obedience of faith that glorifies Him. Okay, another one that will help us in seeing what this little faith or no faith is. Look at Matthew 6. Let's look at Matthew 6. Now, this one's another good one. And again, I want to show you how in all these issues, what in all these various examples, what's the real issue? The issue is one's faith. Okay, Matthew 6, and we're going to look at verse 30. Matthew 6, verse 30. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, that's a very important phrase, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? And again, if we see it, of no faith, no use of faith here. This simple passage will help us correctly understand what Jesus Christ is saying in the first context, trusting God in the most simple things of your life. This is something we saw with Thessalonians I want to bring in here. Second Thessalonians 1. But as you increase the areas where you learn to trust Him, you'll increase the magnitude of love. Let's see this. It starts in verse 25, the context. So let's start reading so we can get the context. Verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. Uh-oh. Here we go. Let's see what we got. Challenge to faith. Just this morning, we've had fear. Now, we have worry. If you are in fear, you're not going to just trust Him with a grain of mustard seed. Now we have another problem, challenge to faith. Okay, let's take a look. Verse 30. But if tomorrow, well, we're reading the passage, so let's read the passage 25, in verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink. What is this? Necessities of life. Nor for your body as to what you will put on. Clothing. Necessity of life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know, in America, this isn't a real driving verse passage for us. But let me just tell you, in the world today, where you're going to get not tomorrow's meal, just the next meal, is a great challenge. Where are you going to get clothes in the winter to keep you warm, and in the summer to keep the sun off? It's a problem in many places in the world. Paul, we love to run America down. Paul, we love to slam America and its leaders. We love it. And America, get what you deserve. You're so horrible, God's going to get you. Oh, God, people, this is the greatest place to live on planet Earth. You can still dream in America. You can still dream in America. Think about that. In a lot of countries of the world, you can't dream. Let me tell you why. Because you know it'll never happen. In America, we can dream and make it come true. When you know it's not going to come true, there's no hope. Now, by the faith, hope, and love. Hope is very important. It's when you give up hope. People have asked me many, many times over the years, many years, why did the Jews just walk into the incinerators? Why did the Jews just get down and let them shoot them in the back of the head? I would have at least stood up and run. I would have fought. I'd have done something. I'd have gathered up five other men, and we may have died, but boy, we would have died doing something. Because you have hope of life. All you need to do is take the hope away from somebody, and you defeat them. Christians always have hope. You take away hope and you don't have it. So understanding this food and clothing, and I won't say, I think there are places even in America where this is probably true every day. But certainly in other places of the world and in America, I'm sorry to say. Verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? This is very good for us to work out. We're not going to add anything more than what God wants. I guess I could change that and be very good for those who don't work out. But what are you and I going to do here? God has a time for all of us to be here and when we're going to leave. It's already mapped out. And oh, how I love Christians who love to judge the way other Christians die or when they die, how they die. And yet they'll turn around and talk about God's got everything under control. It's just amazing the way we like to judge one another. Verse 28. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Very important he picked Solomon, who never really got it. Always rebelled against God. Tried to do his own deal. Verse 30. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Okay, context. Believers worried, fear about what? Daily provisions here. Food, clothing, shelter. Many people don't have an idea of what this is about in America, but there are people who do throughout church history. Many people don't know what it's like to trust God just in regard to daily food. I want to tell you, when I moved from where we had to do something for God, like confess or repent or do some kind of work for God, to just trusting God, caused a lot of people to go in and start investigating about faith and what we mean by faith. And they began to find out, they being a lot of people that listen to tapes and hear, started finding other books and other people who were teaching the same thing, that faith in the Spirit, that's what you do. And they started seeing it more and more and more. But then they began to realize some of the foremost people to see this in church history were missionaries. And that didn't strike me funny at all because, you know, like, let's take America, preachers in America, and people are like to talk about what you've got to do for God and all this kind of stuff for God and get into the theology. They have time for the luxury of debate. When you're a missionary and you're living out there and you don't have time for all that, all you've got, you don't even know where the next meal, the next clothing, next anything's going to come from, and give the gospel to whatever native you come across, you learn very quickly to live by faith. Just trusting God, the Holy Spirit. In America, we have the luxury of too many distractions to just trust in Him. But this is basic thing here. Just trusting Him in the basic things of life. And, you know, a lot of Americans are making a big deal out of Y2K. I hope it doesn't become that. But just anything like that could do it. Okay. Let's just take some look at this thing. If God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown in the furnace, as to whom Jesus Christ is referring, man, angels, spiritual warfare, a different aspect, we could have a lot of fun there. Will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Notice the expression, much more, comparative adjective, magnitude of God's love. But our concern is, O men of little faith. Again, same adjective, it's a compound. An adjective uses a vocative. He calls them this, O men of little faith. Now, again, there are those that will see here, little in amount, insisting that God demands a great deal of faith. But if we understand it, that's going to be works. If we understand what's going on here, you're just not using your faith daily. This is what it means to renew faith daily. If I don't know where my food is coming from daily, then each day I renew my faith. I trust you today, God. I trust you for food today. I trust you for clothing today. It's a daily thing. We have Christians that fall apart when the garage door doesn't work. We have Christians that fall apart because they can't have this for Christmas or that for Christmas. There are people who don't even know where today's meal is coming from. And they've learned to just trust them. And their faith is far greater used than a lot of Christians who have a lot of stuff and fall apart with the mildest of things. These people use that faith daily. Trusting Him to take care of their needs. They would not use the measure of faith they have, given by the grace of God. And what is their problem here? We've seen fear. Here the problem is worry. Something on the inside. Something going on. Something on the outside causes this to happen on the inside. Something on the outside causes this reaction. People, when things happen on the outside of our life, what is the reaction God is looking for? Will you trust me? Will you renew it to me? Will you think of me immediately? And just trust me in the midst of the storms of life, the necessities and the needs of life. Will you trust me? That's all that I'm looking for here. Will you trust me? They would not use the measure of faith they have given to them by the grace of God. Verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? Here they are anxious. NIV, worry. The aorist active subjunctive, to be anxious, to be troubled, to be worried. When you are worried or troubled, understand you're not trusting him. And you don't need a whole lot of faith. You don't need more faith. You need to stop worrying and just simply trust him. I trust you. They simply will not use the faith that they possess. That's what they will not do. So little faith, little used faith, faith used sparingly, or no faith. They're not even going to use their faith. Now, let's have a little fun from our study in Thessalonians. What did we see? As your faith increases, all right? Let's say yesterday I did not trust God in the area of food. And I have very little food, and you come and want food. All I have is one bowl of soup left. You're not going to get it, because this is what God has given me. And if I had two bowls, I'd give you two bowls, but this is all I have. So you don't see that today. You don't see love today. But tomorrow, meaning later, I've learned to trust him in that area. Now what happens? See, what I've done, I've increased the areas where I trust him. I now trust him to provide food. Now what happens? Yesterday you came and I didn't give you any food because I only had one bowl. Today you came. I was explaining this to John Hintz, and those of you who know him, he's so bad. I was explaining this, and I said, and then you came today and asked, and I said, no, I already ate it. But that's not the point. But you come today, and I have only one bowl. I'll give it to you. Because today I've learned to trust him in that area. So love is increased in magnitude. Magnitude. Faith is just increased in its area. It's not grown, like gotten larger, more faith. I just now trust him in the area of the basics of life. And so now you come and you want food, I'll give you what I have. And that's all I got. Here it is. But what are you going to eat? Doesn't matter. I'm going to trust him. So now what begins to see, you see love where you didn't see love. Yesterday I didn't really trust him. I thought I did, but I really didn't trust him in the area of clothing. It's winter. I've got one coat. God gave me that coat. See, I can rationalize this. You come and want a coat. I don't have any coats to give you. I only have one coat, and God gave that to me. I can rationalize this. This is God's blessing to me, and I shouldn't give that blessing away. That's what he gave to me to keep on. I can rationalize this pretty good. But when faith sets in, and you come and want the coat, today there's another area in my life where you see love where you didn't see it yesterday. And why will you see it? What's the difference in the 2 days? Was I a hypocrite yesterday? No. Yesterday I didn't trust him there. Today I trust him there. And what is the greatest work of faith? Love. And now you will see love. You will see love, his love, spiritual love, where you did not see it yesterday. Because yesterday, I was not walking by faith. Christians will not let people be transformed into the image of Christ. Christians see an area in a person's life, well, that's the way they're always going to be then. God doesn't do that. God sees an area of our life not to be maligned, judged, criticized, and stepped up. He just sees an area in our life where he's going to bring us to trust him. He's going to bring us in this area. Will you trust me here? You trust me here, and that's great. And my love comes from you here. And you trust me here. And that's great. And my love is magnified in your life here. But you don't trust me here. And so there's no spiritual love here. you're controlling, possessive, keeping, whatever we want to talk about. In this case, you won't give. But today you do trust me now. And watch what happens. Now you give. Well, yesterday you wouldn't, now you do. Yesterday I didn't trust him in regard to clothing, today I do. Here, you can have my last coat. What are you going to do? That's okay. That's okay. Here's my coat. Love is here. Now people, stay with me. You're now ready to see, when we get to the crisis of love, how you have to go through the crisis of faith first. Because once you've learned to trust him in so many areas, all these areas, you'll even give up your own son, as God did and as Abraham did. Why? Because he trusted God. It took Abraham 125 years to get to the area. I trust you. I trust you. I will do whatever is necessary. I trust you. That's all that the battle was. It was not knowledge. It was not moral righteousness. It was not service. It was not emotion. It was trust me. You're now ready to give up your life when you've learned this path through these areas of faith and every area of your life now. That's why I like to talk to you about not just increase your faith in an abstract concept that doesn't communicate. I want to talk to you about where's the area in your life you haven't really learned to trust in. And it makes you think you're a hypocrite. Well, boy, I must not have good faith because I trust him over here. But no, people, this is what we're talking about in this study. What areas in your life do you not trust him, where you have to control some other person, or you have to control the environment, or you have to hold on, or whatever the case may be, you won't demonstrate love because you're holding on to that area. Over here, man, it looks like love abounds. You're just such a great Christian. It's just so easy for you over here because why? I've learned to trust him over here. And somebody else in that area where you are, they're battling. But you have learned for whatever different ways on the all of the different things are handled in different areas and different times in our life. But you haven't learned to trust him in that area. Maybe it's money in America. Maybe it's the need of love and romance. Maybe it's health. Whatever it may be. What area of your life have you not learned to just trust him? And people, let's just talk about sin. People say, I don't talk about sin enough. What's sin? What is sin? Sin is the absence of faith. So what happens when we sin? Let's take this one. Sin in this area of our life. Let's just pick one. Stealing. Stealing money at the till. The cash register. The books or whatever. You haven't learned to trust him. You don't trust him to supply all your needs. This Christian's not a hypocrite. Oh, yeah, he goes to church, does this, gives to the poor, on and on and on, whatever it may be, but it's a stealer. And boy, how we're going to slam dunk him. People, don't do that! Pray for that Christian. There's an area in their life like you have that God is trying to get a hold of. Trust me here. You trust me here? Can't you trust me over here? It's hard over here, God. I know it is. And I'm not looking for more faith than over here. I'm looking for you to just trust me. Let me act in your life. Let me provide in your life. Let me be the fulfillment of your life. So Christian has an area of sin. What is that? It's an area you're not trusting. Christian has an area of controlling. Christian has an area of failure. Christian has an area of the cosmic thinking. I don't care what's going on. What God is looking for is all areas of our life. Will you trust me? With a grain of mustard seed in this area and with a grain of mustard seed in this area. It isn't more faith like in magnitude. It's more faith in areas. And then I want you to trust me in this area. And then I want you to trust me in this area. And yes, I want you to trust me even in this area that's the most difficult at all. And it's the little pinky finger that may not even look important. I want your faith there. You don't even get to keep that. I want the total view. And when that happens, what are we? We're transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. What does that mean to be transformed into the image of Christ? Whatever you think it means, what does it mean to you? People, what it is someone who their whole life is loving as Christ loved. How can I love in this area if I don't walk by faith? How can I love in this area if I don't walk by faith? How can I love in this area if I don't walk by faith? And here and here. But the areas of my life where I walk by faith, His love is magnified, because the greatest production of faith is love. And when your whole life here is a demonstration and a manifestation of spiritual love, you're transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But we're all going to have these areas where it's so difficult to trust. It's so difficult to let your love come through in that area. It's such a challenge. But it isn't a challenge for more faith, dear people. It's that same amount of faith that you use over here. It's the same amount of faith you used over here. Use it here. But that's so tough. It's my health. I'm dying. It's my marriage. It's finance. It's old age. It's this. It's cancer. It's on and on. Whatever. It's loneliness. Whatever it is. It's so, I know that. But you're holding on to it. Trust Him in that area. You trust Him over here? Yes. And that's just not, and you try, yes, but that's not difficult. Boy, that one area. That's the area you want. And people, He's going to keep cracking at you. And the storms in your life are still going to be related to that area. And it's just going to be your whole life turmoil. And people say, boy, I always have to fight. And they say, what are you fighting? You're fighting not trusting. You're not fighting something in life. You're fighting not trusting Him. That's what you're fighting. It may look like you're fighting sin. It may look like you're fighting fear. It may look like you're fighting worry. But no, what you're fighting is just trusting. Just trusting. Can He not take care of that? Can He not do that when He closed the fields? All right. Well, before we didn't get very far. Any questions on little faith? Okay, we will resume here next Sunday morning. We got some powerful things still left to continue to see that little faith really is no faith. But we got some beautiful passages coming up. I was hoping to get to Peter today. You're going to have a lot of fun with Peter and what happens when you will use just the grain of mustard seed of faith. But it looks like that's for a couple of Sundays from now. So we will close in a word of prayer. Just in case anyone is here this morning who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we want to give you that opportunity right now to believe in Jesus Christ. All I have to do to be saved is just simply trust in the one whom God has sent. That is, trust His Spirit, His Son, with just a grain of mustard seed, just a little faith, and you're saved forever. Not only are you saved forever, but you enter into the Christian life with some very strong understandings. One, it just took a small grain of mustard seed of faith to change you eternally. And secondly, faith is all that God asks from you. And that's how you ought to live. If you have received Him, walk. Heavenly Father, Father, how grateful we are for the God that You are. You take into account, You know, and You understand how frail we are, how easily fear and worry besets us. And You don't ask for us to be John Wayne and pull ourselves up and be strong in ourselves. You ask us to simply trust You with a grain of mustard seed of faith. And with that, Father, You are so ready to act in our lives, to calm the seas, take away the fear and the worries, clothe, shelter. You're ready to be glorified. Father, let us learn to glorify You in every area of our life. Not hold back any area where we're really not trusting You. But learn to trust You just with a little faith in every area of our life. That we might, Heavenly Father, expedite being transformed in the image of Your Son, so that Your love is allowed to flow through every area of our lives. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.